is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mid Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. What a great hour we've got coming for you. We've got Adam Burke, our managing editor. Lots going on at the network, as we always do. It keeps Adam a very, very busy man. And our Wednesdays with Wes, as we go to Detroit for the Rocket Mortgage Classic. We'll catch up with Wes and get his official selections. And I know a lot of people tuning in for that early this morning. But Jensen, we love to do this exercise. It's a lot of fun, and it can be profitable at times as well. What goes up must come down. It's time for today's edition of Stock Up and Stock Down.
Buy low, sell high, as long as you have a reason why. Whose reputation is soaring and who's on the verge of collapse? It's Stock Up, Stock Down.
I called tails. It is heads. You have elected to receive, Jensen Lewis, your first edition of Stock Up this week. Is whom or who?
Is it a changing of the guard, Dave? Do we finally get a new MVP in the National League?
Wow.
Well, I can tell you that this morning, you can bet Pete Crow Armstrong and even money to win National League MVP. And at one point, Shohei Ohtani was not only a shoe-in, but as unbettable a price as you could be. Hear me out on where we are currently. If Shohei Ohtani does not pitch another inning in this regular season, he ain't winning National League MVP. Pete Crow Armstrong offensively has the highest wins above replacement in the 2026 season at 6.8. The next closest man is leading the Triple Crown race in the American League. Yes, that's Yordan Alvarez at 5.3. So Pete Crow Armstrong, just offensively, is 1.5 wins above replacement better than the guy leading the Triple Crown race in the American League. This stock is soaring. The Chicago Cubs are crushing it. And when you look at where this could be a change of award guard, PCA might be an A in the National League MVP voters' books before this is all said and done.
Javi Baez, is that what the Mets gave up to got for Pete Crow Armstrong? Yeah, that one doesn't sting just a little bit, Jensen. I'm going to give you one stock that's going way up. It's young American golfers. And I'll get to that in a second, because before I get to that, it is the trade deadline in Major League Baseball. Look, I know that we get excited about this each and every year, but Jensen, it feels like this year, maybe it's because it's a school year, that there's more interest in this trade deadline than what we've had in years past. Now, again, you go back to Shohei Ohtani, the year that he was up with Artie Moreno and the Angels, and that deal didn't get consummated, and all of a sudden it kind of felt like a letdown. So all these teams, and it is because of baseball Armageddon that could be on the horizon. It feels like this week in Major League Baseball, there's more chatter about what teams will do, and that more teams want to be involved in this. I mean, we hope as baseball fans, and certainly somebody like yourself that played in the game, that we don't have baseball Armageddon, cooler heads prevail, and we get a season next year. That is not necessarily in fact. We don't know what's going to happen next year. So it feels like we have the present. We have this trade deadline, Jensen, to get everybody to make that push for this World Series. Dare I say, I hope we don't get something like we had in 1994, where we did not have a World Series. And I have said, I don't know that baseball is fully recovered from that. So it's hope we don't get there. But because of the uncertainty of next year, it feels like this trade deadline, teams are trying to go for it now more than ever. I think that's good for the game. It's good for the fan bases out there. And for this week, MLB trade deadline, you've got my attention. You've got a lot of the sports world's attention. Let's make it something that people remember for a long time.
Dave, we have must-see TV a lot in the sports landscape. And when we're not watching sports, we pick and choose what we like to watch on television night in and night out. There has never been a higher stock than the reboot of one of the greatest TV series of all time, and that is Baywatch. Coming to you on Fox in January, this is as good an eye candy series as you can get back on the TV screens across these great United States. It goes without saying, we are great, great Yellowstone fans here. And if you don't know the name Hassie Harrison, you might want to go ahead and watch a couple of the early seasons there. She is going to play Nat in this one. Obviously, we have Libby Dunn, the smoke show girlfriend of Paul Skeens. Shay Mitchell is also a regular for you Pretty Little Liars fans out there. I know a lot of the wives and girlfriends and significant others probably familiar with that one. But you just have a show-stopping amount of talent. And I left the best for last. Brooks Nader. If you watch a little Dancing with the Stars, if you've seen Love Thy Nader, the reality TV show with her and her sisters, this is America. Dave, we've never been so back in America. When you get the reboot of Baywatch with this kind of not only female eye candy, but bringing back what is so great about TV and getting everyone together. Venice Beach, baby. Let's go. Let's get the red suits back. Can't wait for January.
Sometimes you just want mindless TV and a little Baywatch, as we used to call it back in the day. So here we go again with the reboot this time around. I jumped the gun because I'm so excited about what America's future might be when it comes to the young golfers. These are just some names, Jensen, of golfers in the United States that are under 25 that we're going to be watching for a long time. The guys like Neil Shipley's, the guys like the Johnny Kiefers, the Luke Clantons, the Michael Thor Bjornsson. He's only 24 years young. And of course, there's going to be Jackson Koivun that we're going to be talking about for a long time to come. So just 21 years young, winning on the third time to make his first, to make his third professional start to win for the first time last week at the 3M Open. I don't know that the young guard is going to be able to be held back by the old American guard, and that's not a bad thing. I'm talking about the President's Cup coming up in September. I'm talking about the Ryder Cup coming up in Ireland next year. Jackson Koivun might be on that team this time next year, Jensen. We could be breaking down his matches there overseas. They're coming, and they can play. This is a good thing. Young American golfers, your stock is way up. Jensen, what goes up must come down. What comes down today to begin the stock down portion?
I'll go quickly because the Mariners are my stock down for the moment, but a big win last night. They stole one from the Dodgers, and if they can win this series, then they come back home for their longest homestand of the year against the Minnesota Twins, the Detroit Tigers, who may be without Tarek Skubal, and the Tampa Bay Rays. And if there is any part of this AL West that has been predictable, please send us the lottery numbers and let us know what to pick, because everyone's guess has been wrong so far. I am a loyalist. I am staying with my guys. This is a short-term stock down because Trader Jerry DePoto is going to make his moves by Monday. I think this time next week, Dave, we see a compass pointing north for the Seattle Mariners.
Do you know that one of my favorite sayings is from the German philosopher? I can't remember his name. Those who don't remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Well, this could be the case here for Major League Baseball. And I alluded to it here with as excited as we are for the trade deadline and what this World Series and postseason could become this year in 2026, 2027. What are we doing here, boys? What are we doing? We cannot go through baseball Armageddon all over again. Can't do it. And again, for those of us of a certain age, we all remember 94. And we remember what happened, and maybe it led to the Expos having to leave Montreal. They were in first place, by the way, that year in 94. We never even got a postseason in a World Series. We cannot do this again to the fans. Figure it out. You're both very, very rich. Owners, you're much richer than the players. So don't put this on the onus on the players. Figure out a way for cooler heads to prevail. Let's make sure we have baseball in 2027, because right now the stock, it's gloomy at best, and I don't want it to look any worse.
Owners, just show us your books. Just be transparent. That would solve a lot of things, and I think fans would be surprised. My final stock down in our weekly etiquette lesson. You people who are traveling in airports, when you crowd the gate and it's not your zone number or group to board, get the hell out of the way. Go sit down in a seat or stand clear. And I don't mean by like, you know, the pole next to the fast part of the gate entry right there. Get out of the way. Guess what? The plane isn't going anywhere when you're in the gate area, because you're going to get on at some point. If you want to get on earlier and be in line earlier, then pay. like the rest of them. Capitalism is a beautiful thing. You can get what you want if you pay for it, but get out of the way of the gate area when you are not in the group or zone that's currently boarding.
You know, I think if we don't become, you know, you don't become POTUS and I become vice president, that you could be like transportation secretary. I think you'd be really good in that role, Jensen, to clean up some of these problems that we have out there. My last knock down, sadly, it's North Carolina football. We're talking about everything else that than football. And by the way, today is July 29th. On August 29th, we're going to play the first game, week zero. It's going to be Carolina overseas against TCU. And you remember, I think I told you a couple weeks ago, I wanted to get to Carolina and get some of those points and see if it might get to seven. I don't know if I have any interest right now. We got to be honest about this thing. It does not look pretty here as we get to year two of Bill Belichick. I was really excited about what this could look like and trying to make this, you know, kind of a pro football team in college. So far, it does not look good. It was a disaster on the field last year. And right now, Jensen, I'm not very optimistic about North Carolina football going into this year. I hope they prove me wrong. But again, right now, nibbling at 6.5 against TCU, maybe a couple weeks ago, I might have been enamored by that number. I am not. North Carolina football, let's get our act together here and let's think about what is on the field instead of all the talk off the field. And hopefully the product will look better this year than it did last year because it didn't look good. Okay, much more to get to. Adam Burke, Wes Reynolds is going to be on the program as well. And our best bets, they're all straight ahead right here. It is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets. You know,
you're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The NFL preseason is only a couple weeks away, and this is your last chance to lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 before the price goes up, and it will go up next week. So get instant access to our NFL betting guide covering futures, win totals, divisional races, and player props. Then on August 3rd, how about this? Our college football betting guide, we're going to have Adam Burke on the program here next to talk about this, with previews of all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings and best bets from all of our VSiN experts. You're going to get the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide featuring over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings. So get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl with daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app before the price goes up on August 1st. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. So again, we're giving you guys this heads up that it's going to go up on the first. The pricing will change. So, you know, those in-depth analysis of those player profiles, Jensen, every single Division I school out there. I mean, again, if you're going to be betting college football, you're going to be betting the NFL. It truly is no better time than the present to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. We also appreciate all the emails that we get on a daily basis here from people watching the show, listening to the show. And you can do that yourself at buythebooks@vsin.com. And Jensen, you want to read to the people one of those selections we got recently.
It's a good one. And again, we really appreciate everyone reaching out. This one coming from Greg in Billings, Montana. Yes, we will cover all four corners of this great country. He says, love the show, guys. I get my day started with you every day and generally have all the VSiN shows on at work all day long. We appreciate that. My wife and I will be in Vegas this weekend, up for me to sign up for Survivor and Circa Millions for the first time. Can't wait. Staying awesome at Circa, as we generally try to do since our first time there a few years ago. Also, doing stadium swim for the first time. Oh, you're going to love that, Greg. Tell you that, little eye candy for both of you. Been to Vegas a million times and love the food. We've been to Barry's and Andiamo's. You checked off the two big ones. Well done. Both fabulous. However, you want to try an old school Italian place this time. I know you're not currently in Vegas, but you've been out and about. Would you recommend Piro's Italian American Club or another? Oh. Thanks, guys, and keep up the great work. I defer to you, my friend, after living out there for as many years as you've done so. Where do you recommend Greg and the better half have some authentic Italian?
What a fantastic query that we have today. And by the way, he's already, as you mentioned, knocked out the two. And again, if you like Italian steak, there really is no better place to me than Andiamo's. That's my number one power-rated spot. I will say this, if you want to go out and off the beaten path a little bit and you want to get off the from downtown and or the strip, South Point does have some amazing meal places as well. Just go to Don Vito's there, really good steakhouse. And there's a really hidden gem steakhouse that you can find at Silverton, which also has a Circa sports book there as well. A fantastic hidden gem steakhouse there that you can also get a little bit of that Italian feel as well. So I would never steal anybody away from Andiamo's because, again, I'm biased, but this is my number one power-rated Italian steakhouse that you're going to find. But if you want to go off the beaten path, check out South Point. They've got a great one there. And, again, check out Silverton there in Las Vegas, their steakhouse, which has got an Italian feel in some dishes as well. That's probably where I would go, Jensen. But you know me, I'm tried and true guy. If I go back to Vegas, I'm going to Barry's, but I'm probably going to Andiamo's even before I go to Barry's. Those are my two favorite right there, not just because we have an affinity for Derek Stevens's places. Those are the two best, in my opinion, in Las Vegas. But yeah, you're going to love Stadium Swim, and it's great that you're going back there to sign up for these contests that Jensen and I will be doing the same thing as well. Let's get to some Major League Baseball that we have in pocket and also the Rocket Classic that we'll talk about. But first, on the baseball front, Jensen, anything that you've already added for the VSiN Pro subscribers?
Yeah, 2.5 unit play on the Astros and Angels over 9.5, minus $1.15. This will be the season debut for Astros hurler Hayden Wisniewski, but the Astros have been pretty solid on the road as a favorite to the over. 13-10-1. They are averaging almost 5.5 runs scored in their last 8 games overall, but the best part about it, Dave, they get to go up against Grayson Rodriguez, who in 3 July starts, 9.45 ERA for the Halos. Let's play the over. Let's keep riding the highs. Astros swinging it as well as anyone. So 2.5 unit play, Astros Angels over 9.5. On the other side, we played a little under in Brewers Giants yesterday. Couldn't get that home. We're going to go right back to it today because Logan Webb, in his career against the Brewers, 8 games started, Dave. He's a perfect 5-0. A .179 ERA. It's just been a team he has handled in his career. So this is a little 3:45 Eastern, 12:45 Pacific day game start. Milwaukee is 21-18-1 to the under as a road favorite. Brewers Giants under 8 at minus $1.29. So that's an alternate under. If you're seeing a lot of 7.5s out there, which I am, I bought up to kind of get that push potential there. So an under 8 for 2 units. Brewers and Giants. Also going to go back to the under as a big 2.5 unit winner for us yesterday. Yankees and White Sox. Told you I felt some run suppression yesterday. That was the case. 2 unit play. Again, we get Cam Schlittler, Davis Martin head to head. Let's play under 8 at minus $1.28 for Yankees and White Sox. Cam Schlittler, Dave, now 10 straight road starts allowing 2 earned runs or fewer. He has been an absolute machine on the road this year. Davis Martin going to get the start for the Chicago White Sox in 9 home starts, a 2.34 home ERA. So those are the big multi-unit plays that I have. Yankees White Sox under 8 at minus $1.28. Brewers Giants under 8, minus $1.29 for 2 units. And then 2.5 units on the over 9.5, minus $1.15 for Astros and Angels.
And Greg, I just want to point out for that great viewer email, it is Twin Creeks at Silverton Casino there if you're over on that side, close to South Point, that's where the Don Vito's, great Italian steakhouse there as well. If you're not going to go to Andiamo's and or Barry's for your great steakhouses there in Las Vegas. Also want to give out some golf plays that we have, Jensen. A couple to watch here. I'm already on Jake Knapp on the outright market. I mentioned everybody. We appreciate the inquiries on social media as well. And I told you I'm going to have four plays here for some outrights. I did take the long shot play on Denny McCarthy. You can get Denny around 100-1 out there. I didn't get that good a number. I got 90-1. I did get Jake in the 20-1, 25-1 range. And you can find that out there on Jake Knapp this week. I did play Wyndham Clark as well, Jensen. We'll give all these out tomorrow as well on the program before they tee it up here at Detroit. But I had Brooks Koepka on my card, and he WD'd, which is a little bit perplexing. We just heard it's for personal reasons, so don't know exactly what's going on with Brooksy. I thought this would have been a tailor-made golf course for him. And yes, I'm going back to the youngster. We just talked about young American golfers, Jackson Koivun, the 21-year-old. And the reason why I'll say this, at 21-1, I don't know if he can win for back-to-back weeks. This is only his fourth professional start now. But I mentioned this yesterday in the program. He was asked right after he won the 3M, what are you going to do to celebrate? And he said, well, I've got an early flight to Detroit. He was already there yesterday, already on the putting greens. If there is some weather that delays, sometimes veterans get frustrated about that slow stop, start, stop. Not Jackson Koivun. So to me, 21-1, I'm not saying that he is the promised and the prodigy and all those things. But if he turns out to be this guy that, next year and 2 years from now, Jensen, you and I are going, well, how do we not just play Jackson Koivun top 10s, top 20s every week? If he turns out to be that kind of guy, then the pricing in the 20-1 market, 21-1, 25-1, you won't get those prices anymore. So I'm going to say if he's as special, I'm not saying he's Tiger Woods. I'm not saying that he's Jordan Spieth when he bursts on the scene. But if he turns out to be in that vein, it's a pretty good price point to get on the youngster Jackson Koivun. And I bet him again this week here at 21-1. Your bet the Bills very quickly. You have no outrights yet, but will you be looking to add after what we see in the first round tomorrow?
I have placement markets. So we're going to do a top 20 finish, three-leg parlay at plus 780. Nice boost on DraftKings for this. Cameron Young, Wyndham Clark, Jake Knapp. Those three, again, quarter unit play at plus 780. Two individual top 20 finishes, including ties on DraftKings. Russell Henley, plus $1.05. J.J. Spahn, plus $1.28. And then very high, another very chalky, but I think they set up really well to be in the hunt here on Sunday. Top 10 finishes, including ties for Cameron Young at plus $1.08 and Chris Goddard at plus $1.78. So again, very limited card. That's how I'm going to go rest of the year. Make no bones about it. Just not my thing, man. It's not my sport. But we don't give up. We don't ever give up on trying to get into profitable territory here. So we'll get it. We'll get it right. Hopefully this is the week that starts the winning streak.
Jensen, are you a repeat restaurant guy that once you find a tried and true that you just go back to it, or do you explore and go for new places?
Oh, yeah. An STK visit, regardless if it's Vegas, South Beach, Nashville, one of my favorites for
Chicago.
Sure. No question about it. Yep.
Yeah, did that in the Windy City. It is fantastic as well. Adam Burks will be on the program next to talk about everything going on in the network and Wednesdays with Wes. All straight ahead right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, on this Wednesday edition. Going to have Wednesdays with Wes Reynolds coming up next year, talking all things Detroit and golf there. Get his best bets that he's got there. But we always look forward to our conversation with the managing editor here at VSiN. Always a very, very busy man. Adam Burke joins the program now here in the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow on X at Skating Tripods. And I know, Adam, it's busy, so it's going to keep you busy. We're all excited for football season. We got multiple guides coming out, including the college football betting guide that'll be available next Monday. Can you just kind of peel back the curtain a little bit for the people at home that are watching and listening to this? They just see the guide. They see write-ups on every single team out there, and they go, wow, this is amazing, but it's not easy necessarily to put together.
No, and look, I mean, I think this is the most important guide that we do. You know, it's not as big as the college basketball guide, which I kind of dread every single season with 360 whatever odd Division I teams. We got 138 FBS teams this season, North Dakota State, Sacramento State getting added to the FBS ranks. So it's 138 team previews. We got 22 pages worth of best bets from our VSiN hosts and contributors in a Google Doc that I'll have to edit here today or tomorrow. We got some feature articles, bunch of data from Steve Mackinnon. But I think this one's really, really important because there are thousands of players that change zip codes in the transfer portal. And we have 35 new head coaches this season. Obviously, that means we've got dozens of new coordinators on either side of the ball as well. So there's a lot of catching up to do in college football. And it's probably the third highest sport by handle following the NFL and the NBA. So it's a sport that's in high demand. It's a sport that people want to know about. And it's a sport that I think people need help knowing about heading into the season with just how chaotic everything is. So I think this is the most important guide that we do, and fired up to have this one out on Monday, August 3rd.
Yeah, a big day on Monday. Trade deadline for Major League Baseball, but we will obviously be pumping this thing up because, as you said, just a sweeping amount of analysis that you get on all the conferences. We asked JVT earlier in the show, Adam, I'll ask you. He was tasked with breaking down and writing up the Southeastern Conference. I asked him if there was a surprise team in there, and I'll ask you, just as you have kind of gone over what that information has brought to you with all the conferences, amongst the analysts and experts, is there a surprise conference winner pick that you saw, or are we kind of back to chalk with NIL and just kind of how we saw the college football playoff really play out last year?
Well, as I'm kind of looking through here, I mean, I'm not picking on you. That's not what I'm doing here, but I'm kind of surprised to see as much love for BYU as there is here for the Big 12, because Texas Tech has the softest schedule of any Power Four team. And, you know, I was scrolling through the best bets here, and I noticed that one of Mitch Moss's top plays was on Texas Tech. And he mentioned that Brad Powers, frequent guest of the show, had downgraded Texas Tech about a touchdown with Brendan Sorsby, you know, not going, and then now Will Howard being the starting quarterback and all that. And they're still comfortably favored in every game for him. So Texas Tech's schedule is very weak. Houston is another team that Zach Cohen mentioned to me because he wrote up the Big 12. Didn't pick them to win the conference, but they're a team that has a pretty soft schedule, seems to be having an arrow that's pointing up. But BYU is a pretty popular team here. The other one that kind of stands out to me, kind of because I wrote this conference, the American Conference, there's a lot of people that like the favorite Navy. I personally do not. Navy loses a ton of offensive production from last season. I think the American is the most wide open conference in the country. Should be a lot of fun to follow. Maybe we'll get the group of six playoff team from there. Maybe we won't, but those were a couple that stood out to me. A little bit of love for BYU, and maybe Bear Bachmeyer takes the next step. And, you know, the boosters really ponied up to keep Kalani Sitake there. But also Navy getting a lot of love when I think they're a tepid at best favorite in the American.
Adam, I know that, you know, we just had the media days down there in Tampa for the SEC. The running joke is, of course, it just means more. That's their motto. When you looked at some of the experts and some of the people that we have here in the network and the way they break down this conference, any surprises there? Because I feel like it's so deep each and every year. And so many teams that we believe maybe 3-4, as JVT was saying earlier in the program, that could make the college football playoffs. Can we look down the board a little bit at the SEC and try to find some more value? I'm looking at maybe the Ole Misses of the world, not to say that they're being passed by, but year one for Pete Golding really as the main guy. I wonder if we can go down the board a little bit, or is it chalky in the SEC again this year?
Yeah, I was actually just looking and scrolling through here, and you know what's kind of incredible to me? I think we got about 20 people or so, you know, who filled out their spreadsheet picks for conference champions, the Final Four, the college football playoff, the title game, and then the eventual champion. Not a single pick for Alabama. And
wow,
I mean, it's just incredible to me to think that we could go into a season where Alabama has relatively low expectations. You know, Obviously they have a quarterback battle between Keelan Russell and Austin Mack that they're going to have to settle, but Kalen DeBoer is a guy that understands offense and knows offense really, really well. Now he's got a lot of his own recruits with a couple of cycles now with that program. I would not be shocked if Alabama's a team that does bounce back here, you know, and really be a factor in the SEC. A lot of Georgia, a lot of Texas, not that that's particularly surprising. What does the Lane train do in year one at LSU? You know, I mean, is that a guy that can really elevate that team? And you know, because he's such a dynamic play caller and he does a really good job scouring the JUCO ranks and the transfer portal to get a lot of talent. He's going to have that offensive side of the ball humming. That's just what he does. If they can keep up their defensive standards of what they usually have, LSU is probably a team that could be in that mix as well. So as you mentioned, JVT wrote that one up for us, did a masterful job of going through the SEC. So really excited to dig into that. I personally focused a lot on the Group of Six conferences, in part because I don't want to saddle anybody with them, but also because I think there's the best betting value early on in the season and throughout the early part of conference play in those leagues that people don't pay a whole lot of attention to.
Very excited to see that next week. We certainly will pick a couple of the great items each day to highlight next week for people to really sink their teeth in. By the way, I might have written up a little thing on LSU for those that want to get the betting guide. It is the world of the Big Ten. We are a 3 year in a row national champion of the Big Ten Conference. And I'm intrigued your thoughts. We had Bo Bishop of 97.1 The Fan here in our neck of the woods in Ohio, flagship home of the Ohio State Buckeyes, on yesterday, and he made the case, you know, not only for, you know, the Buckeyes to be one of the prohibitive favorites, but are people overlooking the national champion in Indiana? I think this is a really intriguing group. Great transfer portal for them and Kurt Cignetti. Break it down in your eyes from what you've initially seen of how the Big Ten is constructed in the angles for our betting guide.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a war in the Big Ten this season. I mean, I understand the love for Ohio State. I have Ohio State number one in my power ratings. The way that I did my power ratings this year is I took six different resources, including our own Steve Mackinnon and our own Tyler Shoemaker from VSiN.com. And I averaged all those out. I scaled them to what my usual scale is, about 93 to 40 in that range is how I rank the teams. So I adjusted everybody to that and then came up with my power ratings. And I do have Ohio State number one, but the more I think about this Buckeyes team, the more I'm a little bit down on them. Oregon's probably the most buttoned up, most talented team top to bottom in the conference, but they lost both their coordinators in Will Stein and Tosh Lupoy. And Indiana lost, you know, a lot of production as well, but they do bring in Josh Hoover, as you mentioned, who may very well be the best quarterback in the conference this season. We'll see if he can be better than Dante Moore and Julian Sayin. And then I'm not going to say I'm a believer in year one for Matt Campbell. I think it's going to take a little bit of time. I think it's very hard when you go from being a guy who squeezes every possible bit of juice out of your roster at a place like Iowa State to then go to Happy Valley, where you have a pretty rich recruiting pipeline and a lot of resources, but those come with expectations. But Penn State's schedule is awful. I mean, they don't play any of the best teams in the Big Ten. So that's a team that could sneak into the playoff as a result because their schedule is super soft. So I'm really curious to see how this conference plays out. I want to believe in Oregon. I picked Oregon to win the Big Ten, but Dan Lanning has also got to prove to me he can win a big game. And he's got a couple of big games here in conference, including a trip to Columbus that he's going to have to figure out. So I think they're probably the best team on paper. I believe in them. I kind of like them, even money to make the Big Ten championship game. But again, Dan Lanning's got to show me something here, especially without his two coordinators.
About 45 seconds left to go with our managing editor, Adam Burke, here. And Adam, we've, you know, been telling everybody throughout the show this week and today that the pricing will change on this with the guide coming out on Monday. So you got to get in before the first, before those prices change. And also for those, the NFL betting guide is out already. And then we're going to do an addendum to that. Is that correct?
Yeah. So Monday, August 31st, we'll release what we call our updated NFL 2.0 guide, our refresh guide, whatever you want to call it. Post preseason look at the NFL. Obviously, a lot more best bets with conviction from our VSiN hosts and analysts as the season is, you know, ready to go. I mean, we released the NFL guide in June. We try to beat the market, help you with futures, all of that. But, you know, obviously, it's a little bit tough to predict some of those things in the event that there are significant injuries in training camp and in the preseason. And that's definitely a possibility year in and year out. So Monday, August 31st, we'll take a look at all 32 teams, do some more Steve Mackinnon articles, do some best bets from our hosts and contributors, talk about any big injuries, win total moves, stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, 28 days apart, the college football guide and that updated NFL guide. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber now.
Give him a follow at Skating Tripods on X. He's got everything going here at the network. We appreciate your time and your insight as always. Wes Reynolds up next, talking some golf in Detroit right here.
You're tuned in Reason by the Books, right here on VSiN.
If you're betting at Circus Sportsbook for a limited time, you can fund your wagers and contest entries with crypto using BurraPay and pay no BurraPay transaction fees. It's fast, secure. Another way Circa continues to innovate for sports bettors. All you have to do is visit BurraPay.com. Learn more today. Take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st. It is exclusively at Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. BurraPay transaction fees waived as part of the campaign. And again, standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply, but check it out today. If you're into certainly crypto, that is the way you can do it right there at Circus Sports. Again, innovative and cutting edge right now in a way to pay with BurraPay. No fees through August 31st. We always love catching up with Wes Reynolds. He is our Wednesdays with Wes golf expert to break down what we're going to see this week at the Detroit Rocket Mortgage Classic. Give him a follow on X at Wes Reynolds, and the number one joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Good Wednesday morning to you, sir, as always. It's so funny because I feel like we feel like the golf season ends after we get done with the Open Championship. And yet, last week, it's Jackson Koivun that gets people really excited about the future, at least of American golf, when you see the 21-year-old winning in just his third tournament. Do you look at this, Wes, and say, hey, there's some big names out here this week in Detroit, but there's some other names, too, that maybe can grab your attention?
Yeah, I think so, Dave. And Koivun, obviously, he had the pedigree coming in, number one amateur in the world, and then he turned pro about a month ago. We felt he was going to win, but it was like, okay, how soon is it going to be? Well, it was really darn soon. I think it was his fourth professional event as a PGA Tour player, and now being talked up, and I think rightfully so, for the President's Cup. But you look in the field this week, and you do have a better field than normal, despite the fact that this is the last ever Rocket Classic in Detroit, at least for now. Sponsorship is going away. But you have some guys that I think are playing this event because they made some changes to the course here at Detroit Golf Club to maybe get a little trial run, I guess, if you want to call it that, at some of the courses that are in the rotation for the FedEx Cup playoffs, which start in a couple of weeks. You have the Wyndham, of course, at Sedgefield next week. But then you go to the FedEx St. Jude in Memphis, TPC Southwind. You have East Lake in Atlanta. You also have Belrive in St. Louis is going to host the BMW PGA. So those are kind of like, 7,400-yard par 71s or par 70s, which is what you're getting this week. So that's why you're getting some of these guys that necessarily don't have to be here that certainly are in good shape for the FedEx Cup. Cameron Young, Xander Schauffele, Wyndham Clark, Chris Goddard, Russell Henley. Like, those guys are all in really good shape for the playoff with the point standings. And they're here because I think that they want to see this course and maybe see if they pick up something for a couple of the later courses.
Absolutely. Buddy, I know that Jake Knapp is a name that Dave absolutely loves this week, and always great when we get synergy with you here. He is going to be someone that I'll have in a placement market. And let me ask you, because for people that are now trying to dip their toe in the deep end, when you have the outrights as you do each week, when do you add placement markets? Because I would assume you back up the outrights with, some of those placement markets in case they don't win to be able to generate a net profit there. How do you go about deciphering, like you say, you want Knapp to win and then deciphering, is it a top 10, a top 20 prop? How does that kind of work tournament to tournament with how you decipher that?
Yeah, Jensen, what I usually do, and I usually do the placement markets on Wednesday if you're getting a Thursday start for the tournament, outrights Monday and Tuesday, and then, kind of look around, see if, anything, emerges. Like, for instance, Jake Knapp, when he had that thumb sprain at the RBC Heritage, and it basically kept him out for 2 months. So you don't want to get caught like on a bad price. So I will add placement markets, and I'm usually, I don't usually go for the big score where it's like top five, where it's like 5-1 or something like that. I'm usually a little bit more, I think, I don't want to say conservative, if that's the right word, but I go a lot of top 20s and top 30s. That's kind of where I live. Now, it's a shorter price guy, I'm probably going to go top 10 if it's a guy like 20-1 or less, or maybe even 25-1. But a guy like Knapp, who's in the mid 30s, he will be backed up with the top 20. And then some of the longer shot guys, I will usually go top 40s on them. So I'm not afraid to have like, okay, a minus 105 on a top 40 or something like that. When people want to go maybe with the top 20s and get them 2-1 or whatever the price is going to be. So I usually will back these up with placement markets, and placement markets are usually the bigger dollar increment wagers, because like Matt Brown says every week on our long shots program, one guy wins the golf tournament. So, you know, that's why I don't bet the same amount on an outright as I am certainly on a placement markets. Placement markets is usually where you're going to make your profit week to week.
If it's not conservative, then we can call it measured. I like that measured approach, Wes, measured. That you take there in those in those placement
approach,
markets.
Yes. Very good. Tempered approach.
Exactly.
Yes.
With the course changes that I find fascinating that they're doing that, and is I'm glad you pointed that out, that obviously you don't have those par fives. You only have 2 par 5s instead of the traditional 4 par 5s that they have there. So cutting off 2 strokes right there. Is this golf course going to play harder for these guys than what they've been accustomed to in the past?
I would think so, Dave. That doesn't mean that there aren't birdie opportunities out there, because it used to be with this layout. And the yardage, by the way, is about the same. I think the stock yardage might be down by about 30 yards from the scorecard last year. But it used to kind of just be grip it and rip it off the tee, and it was a very flat course there in Detroit. And then Tyler Ray did the restoration of the traditional Donald Ross design. And what they did, they elevated the greens. So there's still the 50-50 bent POA mix, but they elevated the greens and they made them bigger, and they made the shapes a lot less uniform, because a lot of them were circular or oval shaped. And now it's a little bit different. So the around the green might be a little bit more of a challenge, because they can place the pins in different spots. The bunkers are also deeper and larger, and there's also more in the fairway as well. They're not just protecting the greens, but yeah, I think the scoring is probably going to be more difficult. I would say, you know, maybe low to mid teens, but I don't think you're going to see what you've seen in recent years, where I think it was Aldrich Pottengeter last year was 22 under par. I don't think you're getting the 20 under pars here when you have 3 par 4s now of over 500 yards. I think 17 is 537 and number 7 is 505. They were the par fives last year, so obviously easily scorable, easiest holes on the course. And now you have those major changes. So yeah, this is going to be more difficult scoring.
Okay, so 2 names that jumped out to me in your handicap here, Wes: Akshay Bhatia at 45-1, and then Ryu Satsune at 80-1, just knowing that parts of their game really line up well with how this course has adjusted. Your thoughts on how you got to those names and where you like them to really be able to attack?
Yeah, Jensen. Akshay was a runner-up here in Detroit 2 years ago. He was second in approach, second in ball striking in that field. He is number one on the tour for strokes gained putting, and could be adept in this field to deal with the changes in the greens, because these are bent POA, but there's more contours now, and they put more breaks as they rebuilt these greens. So I think he'll be able to adjust from previous years. He's got a win this year, of course, won at the Arnold Palmer, but it was disappointing in the majors. He missed the cuts in 3 of the 4 majors. So look, now it's all about FedEx Cup. Okay, this is how I'm going to salvage the season, and let's get in position. So Akshay made the card at 45-1. And then Ryo Hisatsune, he's kind of one of those guys that has been Mr. Consistency all year. Ever since he missed that cut in the opener in Hawaii, he's made 20 cuts in a row, 5 top 10s, including a runner-up at the Farmers, top 10 in total driving, number 16 in proximity to the hole, really a proven birdie maker. So I'm going with the guys that have been kind of consistent, you know, that haven't locked up that win. Hisatsune, Ryan Gerard is certainly another guy that also fits in that category as well.
Wes, I brought this up yesterday. I want to get your thoughts. And you know, I love to look out a little bit and project. And we're looking at that President's Cup coming up at the end of next month against the international team. And we normally handle our business. We're a $4 betting favorite to get it done again. So there's not necessarily in the betting market a lot of intrigue there. You mentioned Jackson Koivun, and I can go back to Italy in 2023, when then an unknown Ludvig Åberg was put on the European team, and we saw what he did there right away. Would you consider putting Koivun on that President's Cup team here if you're the United States?
I absolutely would. I think that, you know, and the President's Cup, because the Americans are favorites, that's not to disrespect the international side, but the Americans have dominated this. The President's Cup could kind of be a little bit of an experiment here to see how they would handle Ryder Cup, because I think the President's Cup is at least a little bit less pressure. necessarily than the Ryder Cup. And I think you want to see how these young guns are going to handle it. And if they're going to be a part of your team for the next 10, 15 years to come, Chris Goddard's going to be another guy that would be a first timer that I think certainly is going to qualify for the team. So yeah, I would throw Jackson Koivun out there and see how he flourishes in this team event. Keep in mind, national champion two of the last 3 years on the Auburn team, War Eagle, for NCAA men's golf. So I think he will do very well in team competition. I would absolutely put him on the team this year.
You can be our United States captain because I concur 1,000% with those sentiments, Wes. That is a great breakdown, as always. Everybody, give him a follow on X at Wes Reynolds, and the number one does a great job. Check out Long Shots as well with he, Matt Brown, and Kelly Bidwin. If you want more VEASAN, we know you do. VEASAN.com, VEASAN Watch app. We got a numbers game. Matt Brown is in with Kelly next, right here on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.